right, folks. Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire podcast, football edition. It's already week 8, right, Matt? Is that correct? Week 8?
That is correct.
Matt Kennerly. I'm Jeremy Moss here. We're hanging out, talking football. What else do we do? We always talk football. Website, MWR. Facebook, Mount West Wire. We're getting some more Facebook friends. That's nice. Twitter. If you like basketball, yeah, you're getting some extra publicity or mentions this week. And we're getting a lot of snarky responses in return, so thanks.
Hey, you know what? If the fans are engaged, that's good for us.
It's called social media, unlike other websites I'm familiar with that don't engage very much. But we're not going to call anybody out, are we?
No.
But we're nearing 1,000 followers on Twitter very quickly. Very quickly. We are currently, as of Wednesday, what's we at? Wednesday after evening? 995. Who's going to be 1,000? That's what we need to know.
We'll send out a very special thank you to whoever that person is.
And no unfollowing and following to be that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, that's annoying. Because every time you announce, hey, I'm at 500, 1,000, 1,800, immediately four jerks unfollow you.
Yeah, what can you do?
But then they come back usually, but still. But we got week 8 here. We have a couple Friday games, a couple Saturday games. Well, I guess that's the only days we play, but... It's week. Let me ask you this really quick. Have you perused my latest quarterback rankings?
I did dally over them a little bit earlier, yes.
Any objections?
I do wonder whether you're penalizing Brett Rippon a little too much. But compared to
everybody else, man, how can I not?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you ranked Ty Ganji second, did you not?
I think I did. Here... Let me explain myself a little bit. We discussed Marcus McMarion last week at the end of our show. Like, hey, where should he be? And you're like, he should be high. Like, right around, we mentioned Drew Brown area, which is, I think, fair. But then I'm looking at it. I'm like, well, let's see. Wait, Ty Ganji's actually played better than Marcus McMarion in conference play by quite a bit. If you go by numbers, like 10 touchdowns to 5, that's a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. However, McMarion's won those games. He's 3-0. So maybe I did... Ding ripping, but here's how I went really quick. I had Nick Stevens, who I apparently didn't write a blurb for. Whatever, sorry folks, I forgot that this morning. But he's number one no matter what, I think, for a while. Ganji 8-2, McMarion 7-3. I dropped Chapman 2-4 just because he had the yardage, but he kind of he didn't get in the end zone. Or no, he did get in the end zone one, but 12-27. That's not great. But you might be right, but I'm looking at pure numbers. Like, what has Rippon done to say he's a top 5 quarterback in the conference? I stuck him at – where did I stick him at?
Number 8.
Yeah, 8. Like, look at what he's done. Why should he be higher? You got to convince me here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm like the last person outside of Boise that still believes in him. I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, when I'm going through numbers here. I'm like, all right, what should we do? Because McMarion, Ganji put up big numbers. But, like, really quick, here's what Rippon did last week. He threw for 72 yards. Come on.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I get you.
That's where I'm getting at. And really quick, too, I put Kent Myers and Jordan Love 12. We'll get to that because who knows what's going on there. Montel Aaron might be better than 11, but since he had injury, I kind of just was injured and stuck him in there behind Lamar Jordan. But there's a big shakeup this week, and it's hard to figure out who's good because Worthman had 5 touchdowns, and they kept him in the same spot.
Yeah, I think it's fair, all things considered.
And in my ranking, so if you don't like it, let me know, right? On social media or Facebook page or something.
There you go. That's the move.
We'll just see what happens because, like, maybe McMarion has a tough game versus San Diego State. We'll drop down as we get to. Or Ty Ganji, when he plays have they played San Diego State yet? I don't think so. When they play them, they may have a tough game. So it's a moving target, but if you have big games, like throwing for about 400 yards, you're going to move up. This isn't week to week, but I kind of went overall because Josh Allen's been just okay. But we'll see. But should we get some games, I guess?
Let's do it.
Oh, really quick, one last thing. I was looking around at bowl projections. We put ours out every week. Obviously, Aztecs aren't the big money bowl game right now. But one thing I did mention over at the Athletic with Stu Mandel, he had a very interesting Hawaii Bowl matchup. Did you happen to see what that was?
I did not.
Oh, crap. Now I'm forgetting what it was. As I hype it up. No. USF versus Boise State.
I would watch that game.
I would watch that. So it took me just a second. Like, wait a minute. Hold on. But then I remember, I'm like, it wasn't San Diego State, but I think the Hawaii Bowl gets the American second or third team. so that whatever they're thinking there, they're thinking was UCF in the Big Money Bowl game, and maybe Memphis to the Birmingham Bowl where they play like SEC 7. But that'd be a good one to watch, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now it's time to get the game. Sorry, I apologize for that. And your Fresno State Bulldogs got some love from the All-American as well, so go Dogs, right?
Sure.
Sure. You're still skeptical a little bit, I can tell.
I try to remain impartial with this as I can.
All right, we'll get to Fresno State as well when they play their first place on the line. First place. Crazy. But
yeah,
we had to start with Friday night games. We have dueling games for the first time Friday night. So I guess get the iPad out or laptop to stream the ESPN2 game. We got Air Force at Nevada, CBS Sports Network, followed by CSU versus New Mexico, ESPN2. All right, so Air Force at Nevada. Nevada is still 1-6. They finally won – or not finally. They won the game a couple weeks ago. As I mentioned, Ganji, great quarterback. Playing great, I should say. Maybe not a great quarterback. I got to choose my words carefully there, correct? That's what I meant to say. Not that he's great, but he's playing great momentarily. So Air Force is basically a touchdown road favorite, which is kind of odd, sort of, since they're only 2-4 as well. You see the over-under? It is 67.5 points.
Well, he's playing a lot better as of late. Let's put it that way.
And I didn't realize this. Air Force leads the conference in scoring at 36 per game.
That sounds about right. Well, and when you consider that, you know, I'm looking at the score of each of Air Force's last game, and like the lowest number was actually their win last week against UNLV when they combined for 64 points. So I wouldn't put it past them for another barn burner.
Well, remember, they put up, was it 60 something versus VMI? So they put up, okay.
Really?
Or 62. Okay, 62. Okay, 13 versus Michigan, but then even
that's
if
true.
Just league play and Navy, they're above 30 points per game, 24, 38. 45-34. So they're going to put up points. And do you trust Nevada's rush defense at all in this game?
Well, that's a really good question, isn't it?
The question we always have, because they're not bad this year, but they're not good.
I mean, I think it kind of depends on which measures you really trust. You know, because if you look at the advanced numbers kind of like I do, you can see that they've been successful in some respects on defense and not so much in other ways. Like, generally speaking, they've been better at solving like third and short, fourth and short situations under power success rate. They rank in the top 40 on defense, which is pretty good. But in terms of overall success rate stopping the run, they're ranked 85th right now. Which tells me that, generally speaking, they tend to get pushed around a little bit. So, you know, this is going to be a really big game. I would say it's probably a bit big game for those guys in the secondary, because they're the ones who are going to have to step up, I think, and make tackles, especially if, you know, Air Force wants to get the ball outside to Tim McVay and what's the other guy's name? I'm trying to remember the new guy's been getting. Nolan Erickson.
Yeah.
That's his name. You know, I think it wouldn't surprise me if you saw a lot of those two trying to get the edge on this 3-3-5. And so I think that makes, you know, the cornerbacks, especially for Nevada, really important. You know, someone like, you know, Damian Baber, Voshawn Crumbie, they're going to be playing a little bit differently than they're accustomed to, I think, in this game.
Sure. And like we see all the time, when you play this offense, you got to kind of play your role. And also, they got to take care of the pass, too, because was it did amazing things. I had 5 rushing touchdowns last week. He also, what was he, like 9-17 last week, I believe?
Yeah, it was one of his better games throwing the football this year.
And so they got to, who knows if the odds of that happened to get, no, sorry, that was 2 weeks ago. He was 4-8 last week. That was that must have been a prior game I'm thinking of. I apologize. 4-8 for 72. I was thinking of the past 2 prior games, sorry. New Mexico and Navy, where he had, 9-17, 9-16. So he has the ability, or the play calling could be throwing the ball quite a bit, because that Navy game was the game we're thinking of, 257, where he had a couple of passing touchdowns. So there's a chance, like, he's not normally not going to throw a lot, because it's a mixed bag. Like, he went 1-7 versus Michigan, but 4-8 last week versus UNLV, or 1-5 versus the Aztecs. So it's like, what's going to happen? But I think we know what they're going to want to do is just run and run and run. And the Aztecs are middle of the pack, about 4 yards per carry on the ground. It's like we always say, if they're going to stop this defense, look what Fresno did to New Mexico. Not necessarily the total yards, which was great, but don't give up those huge plays that can happen. Like, don't give up the 40-yard play. Let them run for 5 yards a carry, running from anywhere from 2 to 10 yards per play, but don't give up the 15, 20, 30, 45-yard play. And that's where Nevada, if they can do that, that's how they're possibly going to get to win. And Air Force has been streaky. Like, they get down against certain teams. They've had to have a couple comebacks. Some went their way, some did not go their way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of interesting when you look at the breakdown of the kinds of runs that Nevada has been giving up on defense this year. You know, by 10-yard runs, it hasn't been that great. Actually, ironically enough, both Air Force and Nevada have given up 40 yards of more than 10 runs. The big difference, which, you know, depending on these offenses, may or may not make a big deal, Air Force has given up 17 plays of more than 20 yards on the ground. Nevada's only given up 7.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that is mildly interesting because, you know, they're going to get tested against a run-heavy offense in a way that they really haven't been so far. Like, you know, Colorado State is obviously a very good running team, but they don't place the same kind of emphasis on that attack as Air Force does.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, so it is interesting to me that, you know, they haven't been as effective as maybe they could be in stopping the run consistently.
You know, another issue is, or not issue, but concern maybe, is that look at the coaching staff for Nevada. It's obviously it's still the new staff with Norvell, Mummy, and Timmy Chan, or I guess offensive coach, as I'm mentioning, but coaches overall, it's a new staff. Have they ever prepared against this, really? Have they ever seen this? Have they coached against this? They did play Cal Poly last year, but that's a different coaching staff from last year to this year. What do these coaches see? How long have they been preparing for it? We know they'll, like they said, all summer, they mix it in fall camp, spring camp. But have these coaches ever really gone up against it? Players sort of have, but not, it's gotta, if you, I know the coaches know what they're doing because you're FBS coaches, but that's something to look into where, what do they do to game plan or scheme against the offense? Maybe they've never seen more than a dozen times, if that, in their coaching career.
Mm-hmm. See, I think one thing that benefits these offensive coaches is that there's the potential for a very big mismatch in this game when you consider the other sides of the ball for these teams. And I'm thinking most specifically about the Nevada passing game versus the Air Force secondary. Do you realize where Air Force ranks right now in terms of defensive prevention of explosiveness?
See, there's 130 FBS teams. I'm going to guess 125.
Nope.
130?
They're 130th. And I wanted to see, like, just how much this mismatch might make a difference in this game. Because we all know Nevada, they don't have a great running game. It's a game that's been hit or miss. You know, whether Kelton Moore can kind of get back on track and be the guy is an open question. But we know Ganji's going to get his opportunities to throw down the field. And I wanted to see just how Air Force really stacked up in that regard. So I went and I looked at what they've done as far as passing defense. And on the surface, you know, the first thing you notice is right now they rank third in the conference as far as opponents' quarterback rating. You know, there's 123, and they've only given up 5 touchdowns. They've only had 2 interceptions, which maybe isn't so great. But, you know, they're middle of the conference in terms of, like, yards per attempt. They're closer to the top of the conference. Actually, they're number 1 in completion percentage against them. But they've also faced the fewest number of passing attempts in the league. And when I went and I dug a little bit deeper, what I noticed is that, you know, by raw totals, they've only given up, you know, 14 pass plays of more than 20 yards. But I went and did the math based on the number of attempts that they've given up. And that's basically like 1 in 6. At 1 in 6 pass attempts by an opponent that's gone for more than 20 yards. And, you know, when you consider what Nevada's done, we tend to think of them as a team that gives up a lot of big pass plays. But they've also faced a lot more passing opportunities. And that percentage that Air Force goes up against is actually a little bit higher than Nevada's own. So I think that there's a question about whether they're going to be able to limit big plays, because we know that they're going to go deep, whether it's to Wyatt Demps or whether it's to, you know, McLean Mannix, who both of those guys are having really big years. Like, Wyatt Demps has basically become the go-to guy in the red zone, especially for the Wolfpack. But, you know, you're talking about two guys that are averaging over 12 yards a catch. That's a plus. You know, they're two guys that have catch rates above 60%, which I would consider a plus considering the volume that they work with. You know, this Air Force secondary is going to have a lot on their plate trying to slow these two guys down.
Yeah, and those two guys as well, really quick. That duo has the most touchdowns in the conference at 12. And it's not mm-hmm. even close. And so, yeah. like, who's going to show up? Here's the thing. Like, I mentioned, like, I jokingly said, like, where would they be if Ty Ganji started the whole year? Well, he's now finally there, and he's going to find, like, I know CSU's defense isn't that great because we saw versus Oregon State open plays downfield, where those are just drops, and then other situations where they're getting beat, especially the Nevada game. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to see, like, in this Air Force defense, I would say not as good as the secondary, probably not as good as Colorado State. Is that, I think that's about right.
I think that's fair to say. You know, what these two secondaries actually have in common, or actually, excuse me, before I say something erroneous, you know, one thing that I think is worth mentioning is, like, when you look at Havoc, right? Look at the number of, you know, tackles for loss, passes defended, and sacks, you know, basically positive plays for the defense. The Air Force secondary ranks 122nd in that regard. So, yeah, that's kind of another point in the favor of Nevada possibly being able to find plays down the field.
Look at reverse real quick. I thought I had Air Force's up here, but you see Nevada's D-line Havoc, right? It's 104th in the country.
Oh, boy. Yeah. It's not great.
Linebacker and secondaries are better, but that's a little bit different when you're going up against this team. I think it's going to be like a high-scoring game. Like, I think the over-under is correct. Being at 67.5, Nevada could score. Air Force leads the conference in scoring. Nevada put up, well, it was mostly passing last week. Colorado State's defense is pretty good overall. It's just obviously the secondary's not up to par compared to the front seven. But they still mm-hmm. put up a ton of points versus them. And this is a defense where, like, Air Force has been good. Like, we go back to the Michigan game, all the field goals and red zone stops they made. So there is potential it could be, but Michigan didn't really want to throw that much or couldn't throw that game. Or, excuse me, in that one game. But, like, look at Ganji, 428 yards last week. He has 10 touchdowns in 3 games in league play. It's hard to replicate 428 and 4 touchdowns, but I could see a 300-yard passing game, and it also depends, too. Like, you mentioned a few minutes ago, the running game. Is Kelton Moore going to run well? Are they going to go to somebody else? Like you said, like, we had Booze get one carry, the freshman, out of Vegas. They have a couple of guys. Are they going to mix in? Is Ty Ganji going to run a bit more? Are they going to give it to whoever's going to run the ball? We know it's going to be more the main guy. They play in too many freshmen. Like, Isaiah Hamilton got carries. It's going to be more balanced, but I think Ganji's going to, if they're going to win, it's going to be because of what Ganji does offensively, and he's going to have to just score touchdowns, because I don't think this Nevada defense is going to hold up too well versus Air Force's ground game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right about that, but conversely, you know, another thing that is probably going to make a significant difference in this game is the fact that Air Force hasn't really been able to generate much pass rush at all. You know, they've only, had like 5 sacks on the year, I believe. And when you consider that, for all of the, you know, uneven performances that Nevada's had on offense so far, the one thing that they've been able to do is keep Ty Ganji clean. You know, he only has 5 sacks against him, and his sack rate is right around 2.5%. You know, he's, you know, thrown the ball nearly 200 times to this point, and he has 5 sacks. It's pretty good. You know, and that's a credit, I think, to all the guys up front. So, you know, is Air Force going to be able to get any pressure on him at all? Or is he going to have all day to throw and run if he needs to?
That's true. I'm looking at another couple of things. Combining that stuff as well, like the 5, you were correct, 5 sacks Air Force has had. One thing, too, that could be interesting, well, is a turnover margin. I was double-checking. That's just kind of curious, like, how they both. Neither are very good. They're both -4 and -5 apiece. Nevada's slightly better. And Gangi hasn't – what does he have, like three – oh, shit, I had it in front of me. His interceptions, what, 5 on the year, I want to say. I wish I moved the page. 6. So he has 6 interceptions. So that's an issue as well. And 4 of them has been the past couple of games. Like, he had those 3 versus Fresno. That's going to be something to look at as well, because there are going to be a lot of turnovers. Because look what happened versus Navy and Air Force. They had a fumble. I think, was it 1 return for touchdown and 1 very close for a touchdown? You got to protect the ball. And maybe that'll be could come down to the game. So I think both offenses will be fine. I think it's really going to come down to Nevada has to have some sort of rushing game. Because I think Gangi will get his, but they need somebody to run for, give me at least 75 yards for Kellen Moore. At least that many.
I think that even if they don't get that running game, they're going to be able to get by with the yards that they generate through the air.
You think so?
I think so.
Is it going to be enough, though?
Are we going to predictions?
Yeah.
I think it will be.
So you're going Nevada victory? Home dog?
Yeah.
The home dog is going to get the win outright?
I mean, both of these teams have played a lot of really close games recently. You know, obviously the close call at Colorado State last week really set the Wolfpack back. But, you know, they've had a couple of close calls. And I think that when you consider the fact that, you know, this is an Air Force team that hasn't been able to generate turnovers the same way they have in the past. They haven't generated a pass rush like they've been able to in the past. You know, yeah, they're going to get their opportunities to really keep this offense off the field, but are they going to be able to contain that quick strike? And I don't think so. So I'm going to have Nevada winning this game, and I guess I'll say 38-31.
Okay, so really quick, I went to the pick center at ESPN. Numberfire predicts Air Force 39, Nevada 25, whereas TeamRankings.com has 35 to basically 30. They go decimal points. So I don't know. Man. And this is it. Where's this game at? Is it in Reno, right?
It's in Reno. Yeah.
Nevada's been playing good, but they got the one victory. This is a tough one because Air Force hasn't instilled too much confidence because look at the Navy, Michigan. They've had a lot of comebacks. Couple games, comebacks came their way, did not come their way. Because 3 of their, 6 games, they've had to come back by some sort of another. New Mexico, Navy, UNLV. There's some. All 3 had comebacks, so only won 1 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Air Force because I still don't trust this Nevada defense running game. I'm going to go 38-34 Air Force. A lot of points. 38-35. All right. A little bit later, Colorado State, New Mexico. This is when you need your second screen out, 8:15 local time there, mountain time, that is. If you're able to get to New Mexico, there's $8 tickets available, FYI. So you can check that out, I guess. So we have another road favorite in this game. Rams are a 7.5-point road favorite over New Mexico. Does that sound about right to you, the way Lobos have been playing the past couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, you kind of have to hope that they look a little better than they did last week against Fresno State, don't you?
Go 0 points, can't get much worse than that.
I mean, I'll say the same thing that I said last week. Like, this offense thrives when the running game is firing on all cylinders. And, you know, last week obviously was an instance where that just wasn't the case. You know, when you're averaging nearly 5.5 yards per carry like New Mexico is, for a lot of teams that would be really good, but you consider that they're dropped off like almost a full yard, over a full yard from what they were producing a year ago. And, you know, they're really going to need this running attack to bounce back. Like, they haven't been as explosive as they were last year. You know, Tyrone Owens, he's the guy who has the most carries, but you know, he's only averaging 4.5 yards per carry, which is, I don't think, a figure that we really expected. And, you know, to me, you talk about power success rate, like their ability to convert in short yardage situations has more or less fallen off the map from where it was a year ago. Like, they're one of the worst teams in the country as far as being able to convert those opportunities after being pretty good at it a year ago. And while you want to say that that's going to change at some point, Like, is it going to be this game where that happens? I'm not totally sure.
We'll find out, I guess. Here's the thing about this game. Let's go back to stick with the Liberals really quick, because they switch quarterbacks around during that game, as they kind of have all year. It seems like, reading Bob Beebe's comments, he's going to stick with Lamar Jordan. But are you surprised that he meant that it's mentioned that he wants Jordan to throw the ball more?
Well, I mean, we did talk about the throwbows coming into the year, so I guess I can't say I'm that surprised.
Because here's exactly what he said. You're correct, too. He goes, we got to do some things to help him, referring to Jordan. Davey goes on to say, maybe get a little more depth on his drops, so he's off the line of scrimmage. So I guess five-step drops or maybe shotgun as well. And basically, he's kind of putting it all on the offensive line. He hasn't had a realistic chance because of pressure or because of situations are put in to do much in the passing game. So he's kind of saying, hey, O-line, get better. Block for me. Block for your guys. So you have that. So it doesn't seem like there's going to be a change, but you're going to see both quarterbacks in this matchup, because Tuiaki played last week and he threw a ball a lot more. But he hasn't really – or Tuiota, sorry. I mixed his first and last name together. Devaka Tuioti, sorry. But he's going to play on Benny, because he went 13-24 for 200 yards last week. We're going to see both, but it's like you said, it's got to come back to the running game. What they do is run the ball. They don't have the talent, or they're not built – maybe not, that's not the right word. They're not built to be technically be the throwbows where they're going to pass for 30 times a game or even 20 times a game. They need to be about, I'd say about 15 passes per game is probably their peak for what they do well. It's throwing just enough, and they have Jordan can throw well enough, I think, and so can Tavaka there when he comes in for relief at time. But they got to run the ball better, and he's right. You can't be sacked. You can't allow pressure against Jordan to not let him throw. But let me go to defense real quick. Okay, last week they played Fresno State. It was some pretty good receivers. Keyshawn Johnson, what did Fresno have? Two players over 100 yards? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Okay, that's all well and good. Who's going to guard Michael Gallup? Is he going to get like 400 yards himself?
I mean, that's the same question. I mean, I feel like we ask that question every week.
Well,
and
I mean, compared to Fresno, if you have better receiving, I think there's better receiving on Rams, or at least Gallup himself is better than Johnson. Maybe not the depth, but I think this could be a big game where Gallup has another huge one.
Well, I mean, not only him. Like, if you look at the trio of receivers that Colorado State has, like old BC Johnson, he's averaging 14 yards a catch. They're gonna have to worry about him, and Detrick Clark, who actually has the best catch rate of that particular trio. You know, he's catching 73% of the passes that are thrown to him, and he has four touchdowns as well. So it's not just one guy, and you know. I think that New Mexico's secondary has often been very inconsistent. Like, it seemed like New Mexico State, for instance, was able to really move the ball at will against this secondary, but they really put the clamps down on Boise State for the most part, and on Tulsa for the most part, and then kind of fell apart again against Fresno State. So, you know, while the numbers, I think, suggest a fairly positive matchup in this regard, I'm not so sure that it is. Like, I think that, you know, this is probably the best passing attack that they've faced so far, which, you know, considering what Fresno State did against them last week, I think is kind of saying something. But, you know, in the same way that I kind of thought last week against Nevada would be the Nick Stevens show, I don't really see any reason why it wouldn't be more the same.
I think you're right here. Looking at, I'm trying to find the defense stats here really quick. Here we go. Defensive footprint. So, it's weird because if you look at, like, we go over havoc rate and stuff like that. Do you have this in front of you for the Lobos advantage?
I do. Yeah.
Have you looked at their DB havoc rate?
I have.
How is it 12th in the country?
I think some of it has to do with tackles for loss. Like, if you look at Jake Rothschiller, who is having a very good year, I would say, okay. You know, he has 6 run stuffs, which is among the best figures on the team. And he has 6 tackles for loss and 2 sacks. So he's really been a very successful run defender. You know, him and, you know, Jacob Gergel also back there. Those are the two leading tacklers on this defense. You know, on the flip side, you know, you're looking at a secondary that only has 4 interceptions so far. So, you know, they've been pretty good against the run, but I think that they've opened themselves up a little bit to big passing plays.
They're about middle of the pack at 26 total pass breakups. And overall, like, I know Havoc rate includes a lot of different things. I just kind of thought it'd be lower because they, like I said, look up first no did in the air. But so let me ask you this: what's going to be? Is Nick Stevens going to have a? I know this is you're probably going to say no, but what percentage or what chance would you say of him having a better game this week than last week?
How many what was his percentage last week?
I've got it right here. It took me a second. That's wrong player. 26 to 37, 384 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Ooh, I mean, that's a really high bar to ask.
That's why it's like probably not, but I would you say
It wouldn't surprise me if he were close, because he's basically been on fire the last 3 weeks. Like, he's been above 70% completions since the Alabama game. And he's had, 10 touchdowns against 0 interceptions. He's playing about as well as he ever has. And this is including, you know, his really blistering second half last year.
Yeah. So what's your answer?
You're still pressing me on that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to say, the only reason I'm going to say no is because, I mean, if Colorado State gets out to the kind of lead that I think they will, he's not going to be able to throw for 384 yards because he's not going to have that many opportunities to throw down the field or to have catch and run plays for his benefit.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick, because his conference stats, really quick, you're right, 10 touchdowns, no picks, 11 yards per attempt, 1,000 yards, 73%, I can go on, 73% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Will he, let me rephrase it, because last week was above his average. Will he get to his average yards of 342 in conference play?
Because I mean,
if he does what he does, it's 340 and 3 touchdowns essentially to keep pace.
I think he's going to come close.
Okay. It's tough to say. I know I'm putting it in spot. I don't think he will. I think he'll come close as well. I'm thinking, I can see, like you said, if they get out to a big lead, they have the running game where they don't need to throw, because even though last week Dalen Dawkins had 191, let's just say they have another solid running game. I'm probably going to say I can see him completing about 70% of his passes, but only only in quotes, you're like 250 and 2 touchdowns.
Because
running game will be good enough. And I think unless the Lobos can start running better than last week and put up the points we know they can, I just think the potential's there for him to have a big game. But the weakness of this Rams defense is a passing game, and Lobos don't really have the advantage to exploit that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the Lobos are going to have any chance at all, one thing they're going to have to do is not only slow down Nick Stevens, but they have to do it early, because, you know, he's been a lot better in the first half of games than he has been in the second half. And, you know, this is true of both conference and non-conference play. Like, before halftime, he's got an 11-1 touchdown to interception ratio, and his completion percentage is about 11 points higher than it is in the second half of games. And when you consider what New Mexico's done on defense defending the pass in first halves, it's not great. You know, like, they're 10th in the conference as far as opponent's quarterback rating in that regard, and I think they're also 10th in as far as opponent's completion rate. So it wouldn't surprise me if you saw Nick Stevens try to get the ball to his trio of receivers early and often. And I mean, let's not also forget about Dalton Fackrell, who, by the way, I believe has a touchdown in 3 straight games, only has 12 catches on the year. So that's a pretty good ratio, I'd say. The Lobos are going to have their hands full with this passing attack.
All right, prediction time. I am going to say Rams are going to be victorious, because I still think they're the team to beat in the conference. Well, I guess them and San Diego State, division minimal. I'm going to go 40 to 28.
I'm going to say 42 to 14.
Man, we're getting a lot of points here, aren't we?
I don't think it's a good matchup for New Mexico this year.
Over-under is 58.5. So we're just barely above that.
Yeah.
A lot of points. All right, let's move on to Saturday. So Saturday, you have all morning, all afternoon to do what you want to do. First game kicks in Vegas, 3 Pacific. UNLV at hosting Utah State. This is on AT&T, correct?
It is.
Yeah,
trying to look it up right now.
AT&T Sportsnet. So I guess if you're on your neck of the woods, it's is there an AT&T Sports in, or is it still Root Sports Northwest?
No, it was AT&T Sports. I tried to watch the Fresno State game last week, and it was being a super pain because of geotagging or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Like watching online?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so if you're out of the market, you can watch. I guess out of the market that gets that channel, you can watch it. But, yeah, AT&T Sportsnet, Utah State at UNLV. All right, so a couple things here. Utah State, well, we got to, I guess, give the line. Rebels are a four-point favorite, which is, sure, why not? They're at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the big issue for me, and we discussed before the show, what the heck is Utah State doing at quarterback?
Well, I mean, according to Matt Wells, if you watched last week's game, apparently it wasn't that Myers got benched. His quote from the press conference earlier this week, the plan was to go with Jordan Love at the beginning of the second quarter, and he played well. So I guess they're going to be going with two quarterbacks until further notice?
You would think that. Let me read you. I'm going to let everybody hear this in all its glory. The final sentence about the quarterbacks. I just closed my page out. Lovely that I did that. Dang it. Where'd it go? All right. Here we go. You've already heard this, but give me your opinion again with what we said before. Here's what Wells says. We have to evaluate playing both of them, playing one of them, sticking with Kent, moving on to Jordan, or playing them as a combination. We'll make that decision moving forward.
Can we just all agree that coach press conferences are kind of pointless?
Yes, we can agree. But it's like, the only thing I can take from that is that Kent Myers is still the starter. At least he'll take the first snap. Everything else means, like, roll a dice and see what happens, essentially.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's kind of an open question of, okay, yeah, you're going to play two quarterbacks, but are either of them going to be very good? Because, you know, yeah, UNLV's defense, I think, is definitely beatable through the air. But, you know, you look at Kent Myers and what he's done, he's been up and down the same way. I mean, I feel like I repeat myself every time we start talking about Utah State, but, you know, it's an offense that is not explosive in the way that they need to be, I think, to be successful. Like Myers and Love, neither of them top 6 yards per attempt, which is not good. You know, Kent Myers has a sack rate of 10%, which means he's thrown the ball 190 times. He's been sacked 21 times so far. That's just not going to get it done. Like, and yeah, he has a 63% completion rate, but he's 1-1 as far as touchdowns to interceptions. So they haven't been explosive. They haven't been particularly good at taking care of the ball when they want to throw it. And they haven't been particularly good at protecting the quarterback. So what kind of difference is it going to make against this secondary?
It's not, is it really? Nothing?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking.
It doesn't matter who's back there. I mean, like, you would think with, you mentioned the sack numbers for Kent Myers, you would think a guy who actually has some legs or allegedly would not be sacked 21 times.
You would think, right?
I honestly, I don't know. Like, we propped up Kent Myers. He'd been doing pretty good. But, like, we mentioned a bunch. He got early playing time due to injuries way back when. But here's, like, I'll mention again, like, Matt Wells recognizes switching quarterbacks. It's not easy to do, but you've been through, I've told you last week, you've been through this with Fresno, watching him play quarterbacks, yo-yo back and forth. You got to stick with the guy. I appreciate Wells has a plan, like, okay, we're going to get Jordan Love this carry or this snaps in the second quarter. He played better, we're keeping him in. At least he has that plan in place, but I don't know who to start. Like, it doesn't really matter. They bring in Jordan Love to run a little bit, but it's not, neither quarterback inspires confidence at all.
I mean, I think one thing that might work in their favor is that UNLV's secondary hasn't been, I mean, we know they haven't been that great defending the pass, but, you know, they only have, they only have 17 passes defended so far. It's like 5 interceptions, which is middle of the pack, but they've only broken up 12 other passes, which is dead last in the conference. So, you know, what that tells me, like, if they can get their receivers out in space, whether that's Ronquavion Tarver or Jordan Nathan or whomever, I have a feeling that there may be room for them to operate if they can make those plays happen. Alternatively, if they decide to try to include Dax Raymond more in the game plan, like we talked about him a little bit in our recap last week, I'm not so sure that UNLV has a guy, whether it's a linebacker or safety, who's going to be able to cover him over the middle. Because we're talking about a big target at 6'5", 245, and as far as the guys that, UNLV starting in their linebackers, none of them are particularly big dudes. Like, I think Bailey Laulagi might be the guy for that particular assignment. He's only 6'1", 220. So you're talking about a mismatch over the middle that may be worth exploiting in this particular game.
Yeah, for sure. If we get it to tight end across the middle, why not? But it's a couple of things they got to do as well. It's like you got to run the ball too. And it looks like they finally are sticking with Lawan Hunt, because El Toro Allen's load carrying the ball has decreased every week since San Jose State, because he had one carry last week for 15 yards. If they get the running game going, that's what I think ultimately it's what's going to help Utah State, because you're not going to get sacked. You can bring into play action. You can do bootlegs. You can do a lot of things to avoid those negative plays. And he's done decent. Like, when he played Wyoming last week, 73 yards against a good defense. He's been, like, what would you say, slightly above average? Like, he averaged 6.3 yards versus San Jose State on 10 carries, 65 versus BYU. He's just been okay, but he needs to get a good 75, maybe 100 yards, just so UNLV can't just attack and go after the quarterbacks, because the offensive line isn't great either, but they've done just well enough for the running game at times. And I guess sticking with Hunt is the best answer, because it gives you consistency. And once he gets in the groove, it seems like he's doing better. But again, he only has two touchdowns, and he is really average, only just over 3.5 yards per carry. But if they can get that going, that'll clearly help whether it's Love or Myers throwing the ball.
We've talked a lot about teams that haven't been very good in short yardage situations. Oddly enough, Utah State is not one of those teams on offense. Like, I've talked a little bit about power success rate with a couple of other teams so far. They're making the top 40. So, like, they've shown that their running backs, whether it's been Hunt or Allen or whomever, they've been relatively successful as far as being able to move the chains. Like, in third and short situations, they're averaging 7 yards carry. And they've converted on for a first down on 15 of 23 attempts. So that's really good. And that's the kind of thing that can maybe turn this game in their favor if they can create long drives against this defense. Because, even if they don't create long drives, one of the things that UNLV's been up against all year long is they've been battling really bad field position. On average, their opponents' drives have started at about the 32 and a half, which if you look at what Utah State's been able to do, that's a huge potential advantage for them. If they can turn field position in their favor, put the Rebels defense on their heels and move the chains, that might be enough to offset what I'm assuming will be a running game that's going to be able to get theirs one way or another.
Yeah, field position's always key, but I don't know, let's move to UNLV a bit more real quick. You got one matchup on to see, Armani Rogers, whatever, is he going to throw enough, but I think Jalen Davis is going to get a pick or two in this game, because he's probably going to be marked up with a Devontae Boyd, I'm assuming. That'll be one of the better matchups to watch. But this game, I don't know, I'm not excited about this game. That's kind of what I'm getting at here too a little bit. But here's the thing, if we stick with UNLV's offense, what they can or can't do, looking at like what Utah State's defense, it's like you said it earlier on, it's okay. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's better than last year. I think that's, we can say that amount. And like looking at who they played this year, yeah, they haven't really played a good offense outside of Wisconsin. I guess Wake Forest, I should give them some credit. But whose offense would you rather have, you Wyoming or UNLV? They played CSU. I apologize, I missed that one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, who's better, Wyoming, UNLV on offense?
I mean, wouldn't you almost have to say UNLV?
I was thinking that. I thought you might hesitate a little bit because, maybe not. Because UNLV has a running attack. And
yes.
And receivers, while the passing game in general is not great with Armani Rogers, it'll get there. It's been just not as good as, like, Ganji or McMarion or Stevens has been. Nobody really is at the moment, but Josh Allen hasn't done much either. So are they gonna struggle more in this game because UNLV can actually run the ball? Because you got Thomas back there is just gonna kind of go crazy, going up 7-8 yards per carry.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing worth keeping in mind is that, you know, we know UNLV is gonna run the ball, and we know that they've had like huge success running the ball in early downs, especially. But one thing that might make a difference is, you know, Armani Rodgers, he's obviously still learning on the job. He's been up and down and things like that. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this game comes down to him and his ability to convert on third downs. Because if there's a situation where they haven't been particularly good on offense, I would say that's pretty much it. Like, you know, if you look at what Rodgers has done on third down, it's by far his worst situation. Like, he's above 60% on first and second down, and he's below 40% on third downs. And granted, a lot of that has to do with being in third and long situations. You know, he actually hasn't been in that many, ironically enough, or maybe oddly enough. You know, he's been, I'm trying to look at the splits. He's had 19 attempts in third and six or less. And he's had, I'm trying to do the math. He's had 24 on third and seven or more. So I feel like there's something telling there. Like, if they could put him in manageable situations, he's been able to succeed. But if they need him to complete like an 8-yard pass, you know, I feel like that's as much on him being able to take a step forward as, you know, the second and third guys in this offense. Like, we know Brandon Presley has some playmaking ability. We know he's got some catch and run ability. But this might be his time to really step up and make that happen. And, like, we know Kendall Keyes is a big target, you know, but he only has 11 catches on the year. He only has, you know, 18 targets overall. You know, maybe some of it has been an over-reliance on Devontae Boyd, who, for as good as he's been, you know, when you compare him to other really good receivers in the conference, his catch rate is way down. Like, it's only around 44%. So I think it's going to be really important for Rodgers to find that second and third option if they need him in a situation where they need to move the chains. Like, if they need 8 yards on third down, you know, their success or failure to convert in those situations might be the biggest difference in this game.
Very well could be. One reason where I think he could have that success for at least third and short yarded situation, just go back to the running game really quick. They have a good running attack. Rodgers can run himself plus the other backs. Utah State is yards per game, but yards per play, Utah State, a little better than I thought. They're about four yards, which is right in the middle of the pack. So if UNLV could have success running the ball, which I think they should be able to, at least here and there, because Utah State's also given up middle of the pack of touchdowns too. Mm-hmm. But 4.02, that's average. UNLV's running game is above average, kind of simple what I'm getting at here. They should be able to run fairly well against this team, thus giving third and five or fewer yards for Rodgers. If it's third and five, third and four, or less, that gives the threat to run or pass, because they will run the ball on third and five if they need to. They may run a quarterback-designed run play when it's on third and three or third and four. I think the running game will be successful enough to set that up more often than not, and I doubt we'll see third and 12 for Rodgers force him to throw, and that's when we'll see guys like Jalen Davis or Dallin Levitt making plays in the secondary.
Yeah.
So I got to go to the home team here. I got to go Rebels. I don't trust Utah State because – when you go back and forth in quarterbacks, unless a defense like Davis or something gets defensive scores like BYU, I don't think Utah State can win this game.
So what's your final score?
Oh, score, that's right. I'll go 30-21 UNLV. I think Utah State will get some points, but because the Rebels defense isn't great, but yeah, what did I say? 30-21 in favor of the Rebs.
I like the Rebels in this game too. I'm not expecting them to run away with it per se, but I just don't trust Utah State's offense at all, even against a hit or miss defense like UNLV's. So I have the Rebels winning as well. I'm going to say 28-14.
28-14. All right, next game. Now we get to the nightcaps. We got dueling night games here. Wyoming at Boise State. ESPN2, 8 o'clock there, 8:15 out in the Mountain Time Zone in Albertson Stadium. Broncos are an amazing 14-point favorite against Wyoming.
Really?
Yeah, dude, I think that's too much, don't you?
That is a lot higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it started out as, I guess, open up at 14.5. Jeez. I guess they're based it on Wyoming's not very good. They don't have a running game. Quarterback plays inconsistent at best. Defense is really good. That's why I think it's high. Because I know Boise State's played well. Like, Madison's had back-to-back 100-yard games. I saw some stats. I think Brian Harsin is only in a game where they've rushed for over 100 yards, or they had one player over 100 yards, I think he's only lost three games since 2014. Something ridiculous. And if you notice this, you're like, versus Virginia, less than 100 yards. Washington State, I believe, less than 100 yards rushing as well. Yeah, because their first 100-yard rusher was that BYU game.
Yeah.
But I think the key for me, obviously, in this game is Madison finally healthy like we suspected the past couple weeks? Can he run against the Wyoming defense? I think that's how Boise's going to win because, as we discussed in my quarterback rankings, Brett Rippon's not very good. They bring in Montel Cozart again. I don't really see why. He does a couple good things, but I think rhythm plays in a big deal, plays a big way in how you play. That's kind of the key for me, really. If Wyoming could stop Madison from getting 100 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a fair point because if you really dive into the rushing numbers, you know, there's really no glaring splits between, you know, from down to down or from quarter to quarter or anything like that. You know, on a per play basis, they're ranked third in the conference. They only allow 3.7 yards per carry, which is, you know, all things considered, pretty good. And I think that, you know, maybe some of that has to do with the fact that they haven't played great running attacks in the last couple of weeks. I think that's maybe inflated the numbers a little bit. I think it might be instructive to look at the Hawaii game, you know, where D'Ossimi St. Just, you know, wasn't quite as explosive as he's looked in the last couple of weeks, but, you know, they managed 170 yards as a team, and they managed right around 4.5 yards per carry. And I think if you're Boise State and you're looking at someone like Alexander Madison to be a real key for this team, those, I think, are probably your benchmarks. Like, even if he can't, you know, break open for a 30, 40-yard run or anything like that, if you can break out for, like, a couple of 10-yard runs, 12-yard runs, and be steady rather than explosive, I think that's kind of what you need to challenge this Wyoming defense, which, especially that front four, has been pretty good, all things considered.
So what about, should we get to the quarterback situation?
Yeah.
So really quick, during the show, I saw a tweet from Brandon Foster, covers the Cowboys for, what, Trib.com, I guess that's the official website.
Mm-hmm.
He sent a tweet out from Todd McShay, or at least a link. He lists this is just a couple hours ago, his top five draft prospects overall. Not quarterbacks, overall.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to guess, where does he have Josh Allen?
Oh, wait, I think I saw that tweet earlier. Didn't he have Allen fifth?
Third. Why is this? Is it just potential? Is it because he's 6'5"? I don't know.
I don't think we need to rehash that conversation again.
No, I just saw this. It's a new thing. I just want to bring up really quick because it's a new thing. Are you surprised as I am?
Well, I mean, am I putting on my Josh Allen defender hat again?
Really quick, we don't need to do too much, but here's you can say the same thing really quick about Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen. Neither have played great this year, but they're still top five. Is it just NFL wants QBs, or we kind of know the answer to that, but it just seems like his production doesn't seem to be fitting to be even top half of the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard to say because, yeah, he did look a little bit better last week against Utah State, which I think is probably more encouraging than a lot of people realize. Like, you know, he completed nearly 70% of his passes, and you know, if you look back at what he did last year, like the best analog, I think, against an FBS opponent, probably that opener against Northern Illinois, you know, the one, you know, the one that went on till like 3 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah, lightning, weather delay.
So, like, he doesn't have that many games where he's been that accurate. And so, you know, I think if you're looking to hang on to something, maybe that's it. You know, what my biggest concern is, you know, is he going to be able to turn around his performance on the road? Because, you know, maybe some of it has to do with going to face a team like Iowa or something like that. But he hasn't been particularly good ever on the road compared to when he's been at home at Wyoming. You know, yes, his completion percentage is up a lot, but his yards per attempt is down by about a yard and a half from on the home from home versus road games. And he's only thrown one touchdown against three interceptions in two games away from Laramie so far. So I think this is a big moment for him to really try and reverse that trend.
Yeah, his best, real quick, his best road game by completion percentage was at New Mexico last year, 64%. Or actually, no, sorry, Eastern Michigan, 65%. So he's had a couple, but like Utah State game is his best game ever on the road, completion percentage-wise. And so I know going to Boise is different than going to Utah State, but I just want to see him do something a bit better. Like, I'm not trying to bash on him, but it's like, you're right, the last two games have been encouraging. 219 versus Texas State, 208 versus Utah State, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. That's quite good. This Boise defense, I know they play wide. They can be hit or miss. That's the thing with them. When they played Washington State, they didn't give up that touchdown until late in the fourth quarter. They played very well last week in their upset victory over San Diego State. But then they played Virginia and give up a million points, it seems like. They were out of the game in seconds, partly because a little bit of bad throwing by Rippon, but also the defense couldn't stop the passing attack of UVA's quarterback. And maybe if that Boise State defense appears again, maybe this is Josh Allen's best game of the year.
You know what I want to see is I want to see if James Price can take another step forward, because, you know, he started to see a little more action last week against the Aggies, and he tied for the team lead with Austin Conway as far as targets. They both had 5 apiece. And, you know, we know Conway's probably their number one guy, you know, win, lose, or draw. But they haven't really had a number two that they've been able to rely upon so far. Like C.J. Johnson, who I think we expected to be pretty good, and yes, he has 4 touchdowns and he has 16 yards per catch. But I think so far, maybe they've been treating him more like a big play receiver because his catch rate is under 50% at the moment. And, you know, granted, so is James Price's, but, you know, last week was really his best performance of the year. You know, he had 5 targets, but he had 4 catches and he led the team in receiving. So if he's a guy who can step into that number two role, you know, and be that kind of big target that I think Josh Allen kind of needs, you know, a guy who can go up and get it or something like that, you know, yeah. Obviously, yes, Boise has a really good secondary, but he might be the kind of guy who makes a difference for this offense.
And he's probably or hopefully coming into his own because he missed the first 3 games because he had a preseason training camp injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's obviously a big deal. And he did came out in the Hawaii game, his first one back, for a 25-yard touchdown reception, but 4 for 72. Yeah, they need him to step up. If he comes back and gets another 6 targets, Conway does well, does his thing, C.J. Johnson, that's an area they could exploit maybe in Boise's defense. But the one thing that we've been harping on Wyoming quite a bit is, well, me besides Josh Allen, running game has been not very good at all.
Mm-hmm.
And is it going to be Trey Woods, Kellen Overstreet? Is Milo Hall going to get a few more carries? It's Josh Allen, who used to be able to run well, get 1.7 yard per carry. Did you know, really quick, unless you've looked, do you know who leads Wyoming in rushing touchdowns?
I'm actually looking at it right now. There are 4 people with 1 touchdown.
Josh Allen has 2 touchdowns.
Oh, he does? Okay, he's listed as having 1
on
Football Study Hall.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on ESPN. But regardless, it's not good. Either they all tied or he has 2. That's still not good.
But, you know, to add on something you said a moment ago, like that 1.7 yards per carry doesn't account for sacks, But it's probably not great for Wyoming that even when you adjust for that, like he's their best rusher essentially, averaging 4.9 yards per carry. I think they need Trey Woods to be better than, he was last week, where he had a positive game a couple weeks ago, but last week he was under 3 yards carry again. And we know this Boise front seven is going to probably focus on that because I think they want to treat Josh Allen the same way that they treated Christian Chapman a week ago. Shut down the running game, dare you to beat them down the field. Is Josh Allen going to be able to do that?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I
But it's a
don't know.
big maybe one way or the
It
other.
is a big maybe because we've seen him play this year. He hasn't done all that great.
Yeah.
He's just been, I would say at best, he's been okay this year. Like, we want to see him step up in a big game because this is a pretty big game because they're sitting in the conference play. Remember, they're the defending Mountain West champs in the division. They are 2-0 in the division. Boise's 2-0. Whoever wins this game is going to be likely challenging Colorado State for the title because the Rams still have to play both the Cowboys and the Broncos. And maybe it'll be a three-way tie situation, but I just don't see Wyoming winning. I think it'll be closer than that 14 points. Unless Josh Allen has the game of the year for him, I don't see, even how good the Wyoming defense is, which we haven't really mentioned too much of, like Logan Wilson or Andrew Wingard back there, what they've been doing by just tearing it up. I don't think that'll be enough.
Yeah, and I think maybe one more thing that's worth mentioning is there's a little bit of transition, I believe, along Wyoming's offensive line. Alonzo Velasquez, who I believe is the right tackle, he true freshman. He, I believe, last I read, is going to be done for the year, they're thinking, with a meniscus tear. So, obviously next man up for whoever steps into that spot, but it's an offensive line that's been banged up here and there. And, they're going up against a Boise front four, especially, who can, not only defend the run, but bring a pass rush as well. So they've been a little bit up and down as far as being able to protect Josh Allen. Like he's been sacked 12 times. It's a sack rate right around 7%, which is okay. But they're going to be severely tested by, Jabril Frazier and company in that front four.
All right, one last thing before the prediction time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just moments ago, I did not realize this, but Wyoming is getting back tight end Austin Fort, who tore his PCL in August.
Oh, that's good news.
He's technically listed as co-starters with the two other tight ends, with Tyree Mayfield and Josh Harshman. But Fort's a guy that, like, here's Josh Allen, what he said. It says it's awesome, saying he wants him back. I don't think he got a target, but referred last week, but him being out there running routes against Utah State, different things he can bring to the table with the offense, it's a good thing. So I don't know how, like, he played last week versus Utah State. Maybe he'll get more reps this week, more targets perhaps. But if he can get a couple targets this week and make something happen, that's just another weapon that they have, and maybe that's all Josh Allen needs, getting these guys back, like getting Price back, now getting Fort back in the lineup. Because really quick, last year, now he's not pulling up here for me, never mind. I was going to look up his numbers really quick, but basically just having another target out there can't be bad for him.
Exactly.
I'm still going to take Boise State, but let me if what here's really quick. If Wyoming's going to win, the Logan Wilson does defense has to shut down Madison and can't let Brett Rippon beat him in the air, which he hasn't done it all year, so I don't see it happening again. But I'm still going to say Boise State, like, it'll be like the Utah State game, sort of close, like 28-20 for Boise State.
I also think it's going to be close. I also think Boise's going to be able to pull this one out, but it's not going to be easy. I think the defenses are going to lead the way for both of these teams. So I'm going to say 17 to 10,
Oh,
Boise
no.
State wins this game. Or yeah.
That's it.
It
17-10.
it's going to be a tough fight. Yeah.
Low scoring game. 17. You do know the over under is 46, which is not high, but that's fine. Go with it.
All
Anyway,
right.
final game. Is this the game of the week?
Unexpectedly, yes.
I would say. say so. Well, I mean, Boise to both undefeated in league play, but 7:30 Pacific, Aztecs TV home CBS Sports Network hosts 3-0 the Fighting Jeff Tedfords, Fresno State Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Aztecs that we mentioned on last week, it actually dropped. It started at 111, I think we said. It's now down to a 7.5, which I think is more accurate. So did you ever think this was a possibility this year at all, that during this game, first place would be on the line?
No, I mean, I'm already thinking that I should probably self-report to Old Takes Exposed or something like that.
That's, go for it. He quoted me a couple times, so you need to get in on the fun.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, what do you think, that 7.5 point favorite? What do you, yes, no?
I mean, I think that's fair, because, you know, San Diego State they're going to be motivated, first of all, after basically getting hammered at home by a very good Boise State team. And then, you know, being able to hold serve against what's turned out to be another very good team in conference play so far. So I think, you know, maybe it's stating the obvious, but the first order of business, I think, is going to be getting Rashad Penny back on track. You know, because he was more or less shut down last week. And I think it's worth noting that, you know, Fresno State, for as good as they've been defending the run, you know, they're going to miss Malik Forrester, at least in the first half of this week's game. He actually got ejected in the second half last week for throwing a punch against New Mexico. And he's been pretty good so far this year. Like, his numbers don't jump off the stat page, but, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, his presence in the middle of that defense has really allowed the guys around him to thrive. Like, you're talking about a guy who has 2 sacks, has 3.5 tackles for loss, and has basically played that kind of, you know, off nose tackle position to, you know, I don't want to say perfection, but he's been really good at it, you know? So there's going to be a lot of responsibility on the guys who step up, at least to replace him in that first half, because, I mean, we kind of know, I think, what San Diego State's going to do. They're going to give the ball to Penny. They're going to give the ball to Juwan Washington. And they're going to see if they can soften this Fresno State defense between the tackles.
So we know how good they did last week versus New Mexico. Mm-hmm. 2.95 yards per carry, 109 total yards. But this is a completely different rushing attack.
Yes, it is.
Because New Mexico is a bit more speed-based. It's more of a misdirection. Whereas Aztecs are like, there's a reason they have Nick Bottom playing fullback.
Yeah.
He will, with his broken hand, push you out of the way and make one-handed grabs at the same time. He will do all that in this matchup. But, like, I'm thinking this might be more like Alabama than New Mexico for the rushing defense for San Diego State. Not saying, obviously, Chapman's not going to bust off a 75-yarder, but that's probably the most comparable running attack that they faced. Not necessarily talent-wise, but scheme-wise. And they had no answer against the Crimson Tide. But there's other reasons for that. Just better offensive line, better, just kind of better talent out there outside of maybe Penny being on par with those guys. But I think that's the most accurate scheme they faced, because Washington decided to throw the ball with Jake Browning. Nevada didn't run the ball well. We know the Spartans' rush offense is pretty terrible. So I'm thinking Penny's going to bounce back for a pretty big game. Won't be 7 yards a carry like Alabama, but I could see him getting about 125 at least, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a really interesting test for, especially, I think, the interior of this San Diego State offensive line. Because, I mean, let's face it, they got beat a lot last week. They ended up giving, I think it was 12 tackles for loss. So they're going to need the young guys especially, and I'm talking most specifically about guys like Deshaun Dixon and Keith Ismail. You know, they're both underclassmen. They've both been very good more often than not. You know, but at left guard and at center, I think there's going to be a lot of responsibility on them to kind of create running lanes through the middle. And conversely, I think this is a really big game for both of Fresno State's inside linebackers. I think Jeffrey Allison is going to play a huge role in this game. You know, if he can get off of his blocks and, you know, get to double digit tackles or something like that, I would expect him to be a guy, as being integral to really keep Penny from getting to the second level. And if he does, you know, then you've got the guys behind him in the secondary, Juju Hughes and Mike Bell, who've, you know, both shown an ability to play pretty well against the run so far. You know, I think, you know, it's that middle of the offense, the point of attack, and kind of the middle of the defense, if you're to draw a line with through the traditional X's and O's, I think that's where this game is going to be won or lost for San Diego State on offense.
Nothing to do with Christian Chapman then?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think one thing to watch out for with Chapman is that, you know, in the same way that the offensive line got pushed around in the running game, you know, now he's, for as good as he's been in a lot of respects, now he's sporting a sack rate above 10%. And, you know, Fresno's been, you know, pretty good, I think, at pressuring quarterbacks, even if they haven't always gotten there. So, yeah, there's going to be some chances for him, I think, to convert plays, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be a focal point unless they absolutely need him to be.
So, Christian Chapman, business as usual, then. Like,
I would think so, yeah, unless things start getting out of hand in the same way that they did last week.
So, like 10 to 16?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see what that Chapman can do in the secondary, but can, or not secondary, but passing against that secondary. Let's go to Fresno's offense here. They have Marcus McMarion is, besides Nick Stevens, he's probably the best quarterback in conference play.
Are we forgetting about Ty Gangi now?
Sorry. Ty Gangi as well, sorry. Top three quarterback, like, I put him top three, as we mentioned before. He's one of the few grad transfers, as we mentioned. Hey, look what he's doing. It's actually working out for once. But he has the best quarterback rating. He has one interception. This is all games overall. The yardage isn't quite there until you look at the past couple of games. Because you can't really count, like, Washington, whatever. But I guess San Jose State, not great. But he's, like, look at New Mexico. I know it's a completely different defense, but 13 yards per attempt. Do you think there's any way he could have advantage against any of those guys in the secondary for San Diego State? Because Fresno has one of the best group receivers in the conference outside of maybe like Colorado State.
That is the big question. Because, yes, Marcus McMarion has looked good in conference play, but this is by far the best secondary that he'll have faced so far. You know, and they didn't really get that many opportunities to make plays last week against Boise State. But, you know, you're still talking about a secondary with, like, what, three guys who could be all-conference performers so far? Like, you know, Ron Smith is, if you look at the cornerbacks especially, Ron Smith and Cameron Kelly on the outside, you know, they're probably going to be lined up against Keyshawn Johnson and Darian Grimm, which makes, to me, I kind of wonder how they're going to account for Jameer Jordan, because he's probably going to be lining up in the slot more often than not. And do they have a guy who's going to be able to keep up with him? I don't know who that guy would be. Like, would it be Tariq Thompson kind of playing up in coverage? Or are they going to trust a linebacker to be able to keep up with him if they want to challenge him, like, what, 5 to 8 yards down the field or something like that? I don't know that San Diego State has one guy that's going to be able to account for Jordan in the same way that they might for the guys on the outside. So that would be one thing that I would watch for in that particular dynamic.
Yeah, because they play that 3-3-5, so it's a unique setup of who's going to guard who, especially underneath guys. I don't think you could stick a linebacker on him. That would be foolish.
I mean, yeah, I think you're probably right about that. But it'll be interesting to see how they deploy Jordan to kind of solve this secondary, because, you know, they haven't lost any of their playmaking ability, you know, for as rough as things looked against Boise State last week. This is still a team that can create opportunities for themselves in a way that a lot of other Fresno State opponents, at least so far in conference play, really can't.
So what do you think, like, as far as they're going to have some, there's no way this is probably going to be McMarion's worst game in conference play. I think it's safe to, I would think so. Not to say it's a bad game because they've all been good, but at worst, the toughest. I'll say that, obviously. But I'm thinking this might be his, I don't want to put anybody down, but it's going to be his toughest game and probably going to be his worst game.
I mean, I don't think that that's a stretch. Like I said, I think he's definitely going to be tested more often than not than he was last week, especially. Like, you know, San Diego State's not going to let a guy get open by like 7 yards in the same way that New Mexico did a couple times last week. To me, what I would watch out for is that, you know, yes, he does have the best overall quarterback rating in the conference, but, you know, one thing that he still has to prove, which it may be an oddity or maybe something that's a more serious concern, you know, the offense's effectiveness has, you know, there's a significant drop from first and second down to third down. And at least a lot of that so far has fallen onto McMarion's shoulders because, yeah, he has the best overall quarterback ranking overall. On third downs, though, he has the worst overall quarterback rating, and it's not even close. Like, do you want to take a guess as to what it is?
49.
Well, close. It's 66.
Yeah, it's close, hey?
Yeah.
That's and, not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, and just by way of comparison, the next to last dude on that list, Josh Allen, has a quarterback rating on third downs of 93. So there's a pretty substantial gap. And you're talking about, you know, yeah, it's only 30 pass attempts, but he only has 3 first downs on those pass attempts. And, you know, it's just, it's one of those weird things that at a certain point you have to kind of wonder whether there's something, you know, whether it's something in the player or maybe something in the offense that they just haven't been able to account for yet. But you can be sure that San Diego State knows that's the case and that they're going to scheme for something in a way that, you know, whether it's just being able to create stops or create turnovers, one of those two things is going to, you know, be really important for the Aztecs to create for themselves, but also for the Bulldogs to avoid. Like, if they can continue moving the ball on early downs as well as they have so far, that makes it a totally different game.
You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at the third down quarterback rating. I went through not just because you can sort by down and distance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what down and distance it is for McMarion. It could be third
that's,
and
that's
one.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, third and one or third and 15. He's basically the worst quarterback in the conference in doing that.
Yeah, and we should say maybe small sample size caveats apply.
Yeah, he has, where was that?
It's 30 altogether, yeah.
30 attempts. Yet, Chase and Virgil, 24 attempts, much better.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. That's something to keep an eye on. But then, you know, alternatively, you know, is Ronnie Rivers going to be able to play in this game? As far as I know, that's still up in the air. But he hurt his arm last week. Apparently, there's nothing serious. There's no ligament damage or anything like that. But if they do decide to keep him out, like, this is, I think, an opportunity for Jordan Mims and Josh Hokett. They've really been kind of the 1-2 punch. And I would kind of expect that they're going to get maybe a little more work than we've seen from them so far. And they've been pretty good on the whole. You know, they're averaging 4.6 and 4.9 yards per carry respectively. But we haven't really seen them used in, you know, other than in roles where they're basically salting the game away. You know, now we're going to see them in the first quarter rather than Rivers. And what are they going to do to really keep the chains moving? That's another thing to watch in this game.
Well, Kalen DeBoer does not feel the same way as you do, Matt.
Oh, yeah?
He says it's probably our top position where we have some depth and the guys have already played some snaps this year. We feel
well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know that they have, but, you know, they're being pressed into more substantial roles, and how are they going to respond to that rather than just being in a position where they can kill clock late in games?
Exactly. But reading, like, looking over what Tedford says about Rivers, he had a full practice on Wednesday. He looked really good, full pads. They also did like the ball security drill where he's trying to yank it out, being physical with him. And he says it's coming along pretty well.
Okay.
It seems like he's going to play. He says he feels fine. He has his strength back and everything. And it was an elbow injury, so all signs point to him playing.
Okay.
So that's a positive, and they'll need him, like, just add him to the depth that they have, where those backups will get a few more, will get some more carries and see what happens. Because they need, if they're going to get an upset, they need Rivers to do well, and then if other guys who come in after him for a play here or there, that'll be good. And then also, as we all know, it's going to help the passing game if you can actually do a play action and teams actually respect it. Because if you can actually run the ball, Aztecs can't scheme to say, okay, they're gonna pass on third and seven, or not third and seven, but whatever. They're not going to bite the play action. So if they're bringing a blitz, whoever's rushing the quarterback is not going to be fazed by that. But if Rivers is there and he's actually successful, which he probably should be to some degree, or enough to make the Aztecs have to be concerned about a play action, that's a big deal. This is going to be the game where we know what Fresno State is. Because, yeah, you beat up on Nevada, you beat up on San Jose State, and Bulldogs have exceeded all of our expectations, partly because of how good they played versus New Mexico last week. I just don't think they have enough to win this game.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I'm hoping... Well, no, I'll say this. It's got to be more entertaining than last year's 17-3 debacle.
That was God, yes.
I don't care what team you're rooting for. It was awful to watch. You had, 20-minute drives, it seemed like, for San Diego State and Pumphrey back there?
Jeez.
I think there'll be a bit more scoring because Fresno could actually move the ball in the air. But if you look what the Aztecs have done this year, they haven't really scored a ton. They've been putting up like 28 versus Air Force, 30 versus ASU, 20 versus Stanford, outside the UNLV game. I think it's going to be like, I'll say 30-13 for San Diego State.
Closer than that.
Oh, you do.
But I think San Diego State's going to have just enough to pull it out. So I'm going to say Aztecs 24-23.
Interesting. 24-23?
Yeah.
How's it going to come down then? Is it a Aztec game-winning drive?
No, honestly, what I think is going to happen is that, San Diego State's been okay as far as kind of shutting down opportunities, as far as when red zone opportunities. I think they're fairly evenly matched in that regard as far as allowing points per trip inside the 40 and scoring points per trip inside the 40. But I expect San Diego State's playmakers to make plays on defense, essentially. And so I don't think there's going to be ever that much separation. Like, I'm not expecting either of the teams to get up by even 10 points, let's say. So it might just be one of those things where at some point in the second quarter where somebody has an opportunity to get 7 and they get 3 instead. And that's what makes the difference in the game.
All right, then. We'll see. Aztecs are going to be victorious. I'm pretty sure that's the case. Anything else we need to add this week?
I think we were pretty much all set.
Oh, wait. Sorry. One thing I did mention here. We need to mention John Ursua, the Hawaii wide receiver. Torn ACL.
That's a bad break.
Out for the year, clearly. Probably maybe a little bit into next year. And this probably means Hawaii's bowl chances are pretty much done, right?
I mean, they're going to need someone to step up because, he was a guy who was doing all of his damage exclusively from the slot. So whoever that guy is, good luck, more or less, right?
Can they just give more carries to St. Juice?
I mean, they probably could.
Because they're sitting at 3-4. They got San Diego State, probably not. Maybe UNLV. And they got a lot of maybes. UNLV, Fresno, Utah State, BYU. I think those are all winnable.
It's an uphill battle for them, for sure.
Yeah, without your best, him get or Sura having, what do they have, 200-yard games already this year?
Mm-hmm.
He has 667 and 5 touchdowns. Solid. Maybe that guy will be Dylan Colley. We will see. But he's a sophomore, so he'll be back for sure. But that's our show for tonight. Five games, and we still talked over an hour?
That's how we do.
You're welcome, right? Is that what we tell people? You are welcome.
Yes.
All right, so that's our show for this evening. Again, we have some news coming up on our website shortly. It's a slight change, but hopefully it's a change that's beneficial for you and me and everybody else. So be on the lookout for that. Facebook, Twitter, find us out there. Give us some feedback. Tell your friends, right, about the show. Subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. If you wherever you get your podcast, let us know. But that's our show for tonight, and we end it as the same as we do every show. Yes, we're biased against your Mountain West football team.